So today's Mothering Sunday, and in many ways it's an opportunity to celebrate our mothers. And more than that, it's an opportunity to celebrate everyone in our lives who shows us motherly love. And that's really an important thing, to remember all those people who mother us. And it's great to have that opportunity today. So Mothering Sunday, where does it come from? I think we need to remind ourselves of just where Mothering Sunday began. It's a day in Lent when people were encouraged to go to their mother church. And that was particularly so in the last century. No, not the last century, the century before last. My gosh, how time flies, doesn't it? In the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, certainly, my grandma was in domestic service, and that meant that she worked in someone's house and she did all sorts of chores. And it was particularly for those sorts of people that they were given a day off to go back home to see their mother, to see their families. And they began to gather large families, gatherings. And that's how the idea of Mothering Sunday started, that people would come back together. And it was part of the tradition that people took flowers back home to their mothers. And it has to be said, I think, that the church connection is less well known now, and it's known not as Mothering Sunday, but more often by the American term Mother's Day. But I like Mothering Sunday, and after a lot of hunting I actually found a card that said Happy Mothering Sunday on it. So that was the one that Carol got this morning, in case the boys had forgotten. But the boys hadn't forgotten. They'd done a very good job. So there we are. So the church connection, I think, is less well known now, but in church we always take our time to mark Mothering Sunday and to remember our mothers. It's a celebration of motherhood, and that's really important to remember. Now, one of my own memories from our boys being young some years ago now was Carol's organisational skills. Carol is very good at organising, and she's even organised me a reminder of what I'm supposed to talk about this morning. So here I have my bag. Now then. Pink is all the rage at the moment, isn't it? So, do you want to come and find out what's in my bag? Yeah? Come along then. Are you going to take this big one out first and tell me what it is?
Umbrella.
Umbrella. Yes, it's umbrella. And what's umbrella for? What do we use it for? When it's raining, don't we? We put up the umbrella when it's raining. So, Carol, when we go on expeditions, when we used to go on expeditions, always used to make sure that we had an umbrella just in case it rained. So, somebody else, come and take something out. See what we've got. Let's have a look. A book. Terrific Tales and Staggering Stories from the Bible. Show everybody. Hold it up and show people. That's it. So we've got a book. So we've got an umbrella. We've got a book. What do you think a book might be for if you were going on a long journey? Yes, Mark?
For reading.
For reading. That's right. So that if the children got a little bit fractious in the back, read a book. Or they did. I think even in their day, we gave them CDs, didn't we? Story tapes. Yes, we had story tapes. See, I can't remember. We had a good supply of story tapes to put in the car. So that kept people. So keep you protected. Keep you engaged and amused. Would you like to come and take one out for me? Ah, yes. You see what this is? You hold it up for me. What is it? A map book. That's important, isn't it? A map book. To have a map book. So why do we have a map book?
So in case you get lost.
In case you get lost. Exactly that. So with Carol's map book, at least we could look when we got lost. So, right. What have we got? Still got some more in here. We're doing very well here. Oh, yes. Now, what's this? Can you hold it up, Phoebe, and tell us what it is?
First aid kit.
A first aid kit. Well, Carol, being a nurse, a first aid kit is pretty important, isn't it? Yes, so that's a first aid kit. So all this in a... Would you like to take one out? Oh, I see. What have you discovered? What have you discovered? Shall we hold it up like this? We've discovered some biscuits. And why might biscuits be important? Yes. Hands go straight up. Why are biscuits important? In case you're hungry. Yes, so we've got biscuits in case we're hungry. So we're all ready with that. And Oliver, I guess you have to take the last one out, don't you? What you've got. It's very important when you're playing football as well. What have you got? Hold it up. Right up. Hi. Water. And water is important to take in the car to keep you hydrated, isn't it? So, what an amazing person Carol is. She would make sure that all these things were with us in the car so that we got protection from the rain, so we had something to eat, something to drink, that we had things to keep us amused, that in case things went wrong, we had first aid, and that we didn't get lost. So, and I have to say that in doing that, my mum in her day did more or less the same sort of thing. Oh dear, I have to give the biscuits back. I detected a little hesitation. Thank you very much indeed for that help. That was wonderful. So, we can sit down now a moment. And I guess that lots of mums here were thinking, yes, I used to put one of those in a bag. I used to make sure that we got those in the car. Yes, that's my way of doing things. And that's really, really important to be able to plan for a journey like that. Now then, the map book. I often think that if Moses' mum had anything about her, she would have given him a map book. Because you remember what happened to Moses? Moses went with the people of Israel and they wandered for 40 years in the desert, didn't they? Getting from Egypt to the promised land. And perhaps if he'd had a map book, it might not have taken him quite that long. But he didn't. And although it's not all that far, it did take those 40 years. Actually, though, I think Moses' mum was a pretty remarkable person. And Oliver read us her story. Does anybody know her name? It wasn't mentioned in the Bible. Oh, hello, we've got biblical scholars here. I was looking. One over there, one over here. Go on, then. Jochebed. I'm sure you were going to say that, weren't you, Sarah? Yes. Jochebed was the name of Moses' mother. And at the time that she was due to give birth to Moses, there were rules in place that said that Israelite women weren't allowed to have baby boys. But Moses' mother, well, she did, didn't she? And she must have wondered, I have this baby boy, but what can I do to keep him? Particularly when he got to 3 months old. And I guess that at 3 months old, that babies are starting to make noises, aren't they? They're really starting to cry, to be noticeable. You can't really hide the baby anymore when it gets to 3 months. And so she said, what shall I do? And what did she do? Can you remember what she did? Phoebe, can you remember what Moses' mum did? She put him in a... That's right. She put him in a basket and she put him in the reeds down by the river. And today, is it still true that we call them Moses' baskets? We have little babies and we have sort of rush baskets. They're still called Moses' baskets. I think that's remarkable, isn't it? All those years later, they're still called Moses' basket. And I think that was amazingly brave, wasn't it? But there was Moses' sister, his big sister. Now, I hope more hands will go up when I say, and what was Moses' sister called? Oh, Emma knows this one. Emma knows. I don't think we've got any girls called that here, have we? But she was called?
Miriam.
Moses' sister was called Miriam. And she was put to keep watch, wasn't she? They put Moses' sister to keep watch what happened to him. And who came along? Can you remember? Who came along? Somebody came along. Pharaoh's daughter came along. Pharaoh, the great king, and his daughter came along and found Moses, and she decided that she would keep him. And I think it's really clever of Miriam, because Miriam said to her, "Oh, it's a Hebrew baby. Would you like somebody to help you?" "Oh, yes," said Pharaoh's daughter. "That would be really good." And so Miriam went and got her mum called Jochebed, and she brought her, and she took Moses and looked after him. So she ended up looking after her own son for Pharaoh's daughter. And I think the amazing thing is that Pharaoh's daughter paid her to do that. Isn't that amazing? I think that was a really, really good outcome, wasn't it, for Jochebed and for Miriam. And must have taken a lot of trust in God to do that. I think that Jochebed really, really trusted God, that as she put her baby into the water in that basket, that everything would be well and that everything would be safe. Just trusting that baby to God. And of course, Moses grew up and he led his people towards the promised land, towards freedom. Now then, I'm on a roll this morning with good answers. So, roughly how many years later did Jesus come along after Moses? Oh. No hands? Well, we reckon about 1,500 years later. So, about 1,500 years after Moses came Jesus. And in a way, Jesus was a second Moses, because Moses had led God's people to freedom from Egypt to the promised land, and Jesus, in his turn, led his people to freedom in God, that people had grown apart from God, and Jesus led his people back to freedom in God as their sins were forgiven and they knew new life. And then, of course, we have Jesus' mother. What an amazing person she was, wasn't she? And we all know the name of Jesus' mother, don't we? Don't we? What was the name of Jesus' mother? 1, 2, 3, all together. Jesus' mother was called Mary. And I think she is a most amazing person because, like Jochebed, Mary trusted God. She was told that she would have a baby, that she would have a very special baby, and we remember that, of course, at Christmas. And she said those amazing words to God, those words of great trust, "Let it be to me according to your word." But she knew from very early on that Jesus was going to suffer and that Jesus was going to die. And that's what we remember at Easter. But that scene, I think, that Phoebe read about is one of the most moving in the Bible, isn't it? I don't think any of us can truly imagine what it must have been like for Mary to have been there with the other women around the cross as her son died. Can you imagine the pain and the agony and the grief that she must have gone through at that moment? It must have been really, really awful. But Jesus doesn't leave her alone. He says to the disciple John, "Here is your mother." And to Mary he says, "Here is your son." And so Jesus extends that family. He makes the people who love him, the people who follow him, his family. And so it is that we are called to be God's family today. And that we, as Mary trusted God, as Jochebed trusted God, that we too are called on to trust God ourselves. I trusted my mum to make sure that she'd got biscuits. And Carol was trusted by our boys to make sure that she got biscuits. Always to have what was needed for that day out against all things that might happen. And we need, all of us, not just our mothers, to trust God, to trust our lives to Him, knowing that He promises always to be there for us, no matter what. And there's a wonderful description of God in the Bible. It says that God is like a mother hen who cares for her chicks. Isn't that a lovely thing? You like that?
No.
A bit sloppy, is it? The mother hen who cares for her chicks. I think that's a very lovely image, isn't it, of how God is with us. And so as we trust God, so today we celebrate all those who in our lives love us with the love of a mother. Thanks be to God, and God bless you all. Amen.